On this week's episode of A Different World, good morning, welcome to the roundtable panel. Very nice to have you with us. I welcome you to a Tuesday morning. It is July 18th. It's 9:13. Do you know where your panelists are? I know where three of them are. Let me introduce them to you right now. J.P. Miller is here. He is the founder and the publisher of Empire Report. Good morning, sir. How
are
you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. Very nice to have you here.
Great.
Mike Spain is the associate editor of Times Union. I'm sorry, what? Say that again. Say that again in my ear. Oh, great. Okay, great. See? The board op is on it.
There oh, she's it. Terrific.
Yeah, look at that. Okay. Mike Spain, associate editor of the Times Union, is with us, and we couldn't be more delighted.
Good morning, sir. Thank you.
How are you?
Good.
And our sitting in the captain's chair, WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, sir.
Aren't you nice about that? Hey, Joe, a wonderful thing has been happening. People have been sending me all kinds of stuff, political stuff. I save it, and then I have political mementos of all stripes and all parties. I have a clay bust of Richard Nixon, a student once gave me in my office.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And today
that's a lot of jowls.
Yeah. And today I'm not a crook. And today I came in and there were about five or six of these wonderful things. I've given each of you one, and it's called a Trump timer. It's an egg timer, basically. It goes 2 minutes. It was conceived in Chatham, New York, but made in China, the theory behind this Trump timer is that the guy's taking too much of our dinner time conversation and giving us agita. So you take this Trump timer, which goes for 2 minutes. You turn it over, and then you talk about Trump for 2 minutes, and then that's it.
And then when it's done, you gotta stop talking about it.
So each of you have one.
Oh, thank you. My wife is going to bring this to our family vacation.
I'm going to need this for next week at our family vacation. We've already been talking about how we're going to maybe save it for
make it a no-Trump zone or something.
Save it for the last night of vacation, the Trump war.
So that's very nice, but we can't use these during the show or we wouldn't have a show.
We could talk about Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Do you remember when we used to talk about other things? It seems so long ago.
It was another time, the way we were.
But that's very cool. Well, that was nice. Thank you
so
very
you
much.
So you all have. You,
well, thank
you,
you very
your,
much.
You
all
have
Trump timer.
Yeah. Okay. And, and if anybody wants to send me something else on either side of the thing, I'm always welcome. I always welcome.
Or is that you're accepting gifts now? Is that you just?
Well, no, they have to be less than but
yeah,
whatever.
Yes, these don't
must
look
have
quite
nominal
bigger.
Value, and these were made in China. You said
China. I did. I said China.
Is that where all Ivanka Trump's artifacts and
a lot
and
of
fashion
Donald
accessories
Trump,
are made,
and a lot of Donald Trump stuff?
It is America First Week.
You can't. That's right. Thank you, Mike. That is true. It is America First Week. All right. So let's go to the news of the day. Of course, the big news is that the somewhere between the time I sent you all stories last night and about 15 minutes later, the health plan exploded and fell. And it's a really interesting story as to how that happened. Now, there were many who felt that this was coming in some way, shape, or form, but there were new defections last night that signaled the end for the health bill. Senators Jerry Moran of Kansas, Mike Lee of Utah said they would oppose the bill to replace the Affordable Care Act, leaving it short, and substantially short, we should note.
Well, sure, that would be that would mean four Republican defections, right?
Well, that's even to bring it up for discussion, but actual support of the bill was quite low.
Well, we don't know yet.
Yeah, well, they're looking at just the...
We do know that John McCain made it quite clear that if this is going to happen again, it should be done, I believe, with the Democrats in a bipartisan fashion, number one, and number two, should be done openly, not the secret stuff where, McConnell takes a few of his buddies and goes into a room to create what he did.
So they can rewrite it in a way that can secure 50 Republican votes, a seemingly impossible at this point, given the complaints by the defecting senators. Or they can work with Democrats on a narrower measure to fix the flaws in the federal Affordable Care Act that both parties acknowledge. Now, you also, moments after this happened, you have the president saying that Congress should start from a clean slate, repeal it, and then start from a clean slate. And Senator Mitch McConnell said he would push a measure to repeal the law now and replace it later.
A couple of years. This is such a stupid idea that it's beyond belief. I mean, think about it for a second. Everybody's worried about having taken away basic rights, health care.
Mike, just put your timer on. Go ahead.
I only get 2 minutes?
To talk about Trump. You're running out of time. You're wasting time now. Get talking.
Okay, but okay. Wait, you better start over again.
Because, okay. Be fair, Mike.
Okay, come on, Mike. So this is an incredibly stupid idea. I mean, the idea that you would repeal and threaten everybody with losing their health care when you've just gone through this massive fight over that same subject is just beyond belief.
So speaking of stupid, I'm stupid.
Are
I don't
you?
Know. Yeah.
And I've never
no,
found it to
I'm
be
very,
so.
I'm very, very stupid. So I don't know what that means by, like, what does that mean? So what state would the health system in this country be if you repeal what you currently have?
Chaos.
Right. I mean, it just means.
Insurance companies would not know, would be holding off on any of the exchanges that they're connected with. It would, for people who've been relying on the Affordable Care Act for their insurance, they'd have to now start negotiating with insurance companies to get it or just give it up altogether. It would be a return to the way it was before 2010 when the Affordable Care Act came in. For some people, it would be fine who have their employer's health care. For others,
but it's not a plan. It rolls it back to what it was.
Right. But I think it would be.
Well, we don't really know.
We don't really know what it means.
So
right?
It turns out you are anything but stupid. Because you don't know that answer. Because none of us know whether it means that the clock that Obamacare
2 minutes to say nice things about me.
Obamacare stays where it is until 2 years from now, or Obamacare stops now because it's repealed. Well, that's really dangerous. My bet is that's not going
to
happen.
Okay, but to go back to your excellent point, which was this
Thank
seems
you,
really stupid.
Yeah. Well,
so who benefits? I mean, besides
Trump is very angry. He didn't get what he wanted. He didn't get what he wanted. So he said, "Okay, the heck with you guys and a plague on your house. I'm going to vote for repeal on this thing, whatever that means. I'll get even with all of you for not voting for this."
Now, JP, from my understanding, even that doesn't have great support.
No, they will not be able to pass a simple repeal, and the Republican Party will be losing seats anyway. And the real problem that conservatives have is that this replacement bill that they want to pass, according to Rand Paul's column, he says it keeps a majority of the Obamacare taxes. This is the replacement bill. Keeps Obamacare regulations, continued Medicaid expansion, and $200 billion bailout for the insurance company. So the Republicans really don't have an answer. And even if you agree with the Republicans on the issue of health care, they are not showing any appetite for showing any competence. They look like a bunch of incompetent politicians, which they are, both in the Senate and the House.
Now, don't you think Mitch McConnell is saying, I'm going to hold a vote for repeal just to demonstrate that that's impossible? I mean, he's calling the president's bluff, basically.
No, I think he's on board with the president. I think he's afraid of the president, Mike. I think he's been deferring to the president all along. I'm sort of interested in what happens if they decide, okay, we got to do something here. We'll get together with Schumer. We'll see what we can work out. And one of the things will be that this will be known as the repeal of Obamacare, and we'll take credit for it, and Trump will say, "See, I told you this is the best thing. This is my plan, and this is the best thing that we could have done."
So, gentlemen, let me read you the first two paragraphs of the editorial from the New York Times today regarding this. Republican legislative leaders are in a bind. While they appear to have failed for now in their goal of destroying the Affordable Care Act, their eagerness to shower tax breaks on the wealthy at the expense of health coverage for millions of Americans has crimped their ability to pass other fiscal legislation. This is not a lament. It's just as well that they haven't done anything big given their goals, but it is a stunning demonstration of incompetence that with control of the House, the Senate, and the White House for 6 months, Republicans have not only failed to enact any major bills, but have also created a legislative logjam that is bound to get worse. Well, how can you have so much power and screw it up?
Well, that's one thing. But the real editorial you want to read today is in the Wall Street Journal. Because they really, that's Rupert Murdoch now,
yes.
Folks. They really went after Trump on this. And if you bring it up, it'll be very interesting to see.
Well, and it's also the, this also comes, what's Krauthammer's first name?
Charles.
Charles
Krauthammer himself has come out against
his first, I mean, that, and that, that, that editorial was quite something as well. And I'm looking for...
But we've been talking about when what happens when the Republicans... I'm giving a little vamp time here, Joe. What happens when the Republicans begin to defect? You know, what would it take to get, for example, Trump impeached? And my number is... My real number is anything in the 20s. But I've been saying 22%. When 22% of the people say they approve of what he's doing... that could do it.
That is a big part, I think, of the failure of this health care bill in the Senate. And that is, if Trump was riding along, riding high at 55 or 60% approval ratings, he would have a bill. He would have, I think, a bill that Republicans generally support, and he would be able to claim a legislative victory. The fact that he's been bogged down with this Russia stuff every week, and the fact that his approval rating every couple of weeks goes down another point. And when you get that low, it's hard to go down another point. And he keeps doing it.
Yes, he does, but it's not among the base. And that's what's interesting. You know, the Republican base is still pro-Trump. And the numbers of the Trumpian voters are the same. However, in some of the key states, because the other people have got activated, you're getting basically 50-50 now. So that could spell his, at least, you know, failure in the next election, if not now.
I'm curious as to when you look at where we are now and this idea of a logjam, and when you have the House, you have the Senate, you have the White House, nobody, because what does this mean for, and this is one of the things that we'll talk about, but what does this mean for the future agenda? All of it was hinging on health care. All of it, when we talk about the budget bills and everything else, it was all hinged on the tax breaks that would come from the change in the health care bill.
Sure.
So not only do they have to go back to square one for this, but they pretty much have to go back for everything.
And they have a budget to pass, don't forget.
Well, that's right.
Right, but you forget one thing. He's doing a lot administratively, you know, through executive orders and his cabinet.
More than any other president of the United States, according to him. Heard that?
Right. And that was a complaint that was made against the previous president, Obama, for exercising his executive order excessively. But
and who made those complaints?
Oh, well, some of the politicians who were running against Obama. But let me just get back to that, though. The Affordable Care Act, it was flawed anyway. It needed to be fixed. Republicans would not cooperate with Democrats to fix it over the last 6 years, and it continues to have those problems. Now the administration is backing off its subsidies to the insurance companies. Now the insurance companies are backing out of many markets. It's still currently chaos, and they're not enforcing the health care mandate that requires people to have health care or be taxed, essentially, and pay a penalty. So because of that already happening, it is already in chaos. So if they do nothing, it's still very bad if they with respects to health care. So some are speculating the only solution would be to, you know, cross the aisle, get some Democrat support, and do some very basic things to prop up the Affordable Care Act while they look for a greater solution. And frankly, that's a big reach at this point.
Yeah, what Democrats are going to sign on to, like, working? I mean, how involved do you think Democrats will be?
I think the Democrats, if they could preserve the basics of Obamacare and fix some of the stuff that clearly needs to be fixed, yeah. I think they'd sign off. And I think that the one thing Trump will demand is it be called, whatever comes up, be called Trump Care.
Right. And then it just becomes a game of semantics. But you got to remember, these two guys that, you know, Jeremy Rand and Mike Lee, they backed out of it because it didn't go far enough. It was too moderate. I mean, so there's a lot of people in the Republican side that don't want any part of a compromise.
Yes, this balancing act that they have, where everything they do to make it more quote unquote moderate, they lose conservatives, and the more Democrats sign onto the bill, the more conservatives they're going to lose on the other end. And
Al Capp used to have this thing, which was a thing called a schmoo or something like that. And if you stepped on one side of it, then the other side would blow up.
It's just a little Abner cartoon you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, or the Kigmes, but that's another one.
And
let me ask you this, JP: what happens if the Senate does come up with a compromise, and that seems like a big reach? What's going to happen then when the House gets?
We have 20 seconds.
Well, I think that the conservatives across the country believe Obamacare is a pig. And people say, okay, well, let's put some lipstick on the pig and make it a little more appetizing. But anything that it seems like the Republican senators do isn't lipstick on a pig. It's more mud and garbage on a pig. And it's just it's something people don't love.
We are going to reset our Trump timers, and we will be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable.
It's easy for you to say.
Probably should have did that before the microphone went open.
We're very informal here.
Very verklempt. Okay, so let's try it again. Welcome back to the roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue, Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, and J.P. Miller are here. We have letters. You can write your letter to panel at WAMC.org, and let's start there, and then we'll get into some more trouble with some other topics in a moment.
All right. William says, dear panel, since it's unlikely that we will ever have a single payer, it would be very helpful if all medical expenses, premiums, deductibles, copays, drugs were considered a deduction from everyone's income taxes without itemizing, without meeting a dollar amount, without any exception. Thoughts, love you all. I don't really understand this very well. JP, you really are a guy who understands your finances. After all, you did run the financial side of the Romney campaign, right?
A portion of it.
Yeah, didn't you do that? So you know about these things. But if you have a dollar-for-dollar deduction or whatever, many people in this country don't pay any income tax, right? So they don't get to deduct anything because they're...
Well, that's where the income tax credit, you know.
Well, I would say quickly, the big problem with healthcare is everybody gets it for free, or to them, they get it for free. And if someone says, hey, Alan, you need a new, you need an eye exam, no one wants to find out how much that costs. So it's like going to a car dealership and everybody says, I'll take the Lamborghini, but no one can pay for it. If they just told people how much it costs, I think they might bring the cost down.
Well, maybe. But I have another theory on this. I think I reject, as Mario used to say to me, I reject the idea that we'll never have single payer. I think this mess brings us actually closer to single payer. Because I think what's going to happen is there's going to be, a realignment of the political forces in this country. And I do think that we're going to find, whereas I think taking the Senate and the House would be unlikely under normal circumstances. But now I think it's possible. And as a result, if that happens, it may be that there's a real resurrection of the single payer idea in America, which there ought to be, frankly, because every other major industrial society has it.
And Trump, in the past, has voiced support for single payer in his, before he was running for office.
I don't mean to sound cynical, but anything that Donald Trump has said in the past is really irrelevant. I mean, it is no longer operative, so to speak.
No, but I think that the point here is that he has played with it. There's also been several news accounts of how unhappy he is with his base unpopularity in this country. And it will. And by the way, the monster in all of this, of course, is Bannon. So everybody assumes that Bannon is pulling, that this is the way that you keep your 36% or your 40% or 37%, whatever it's going to be.
24 core percent.
Yeah. Whatever it is that you continue on this road. But there may come a point at which this guy really doesn't want to be that unpopular. And there would be nothing, I believe, that would give him more credit than turning around and supporting something like this. I doubt he's going to do it. I doubt he's going to do it, but I think the Democrats may well do it when they get their turn.
There's a big problem here, though, and that comes in the form of the major insurance companies and the major drug companies.
That's true.
They're going to have a big problem with this. They spend a lot of money on lobbying. They have a lot of influence on the Hill, and it's a long battle. This is not anything that's going to happen soon.
I think the drug companies and the insurance companies could get paid off by the government, which they do on every bill, and they'd be very happy to do that.
Under single payer? Can they get the big piece of the action?
There's no check the federal government can't write. I think Trump,
you're right.
Trump
sure,
could
that's
easily
right.
go with single payer. And I don't think that Trump's base are health care voters. Trump's base are really illegal immigration voters, and he will be able to show on his reelection campaign a lot of progress on stemming the flow of illegal immigration, and that's really, I think, what motivates his base.
Good point. Good point.
More letters, sir.
Oh, yeah. All right. Dear panel, since it is unlikely that we will ever... Oh, no, I read that one, didn't I? Hmm. Yeah, thank you. Margie says it goes 2 minutes. The device we have here, the Trump device, and then it tells a lie.
Well, the lie is probably that you'll stop talking about Trump after 2 minutes, right? That's the lie.
Okay. Good morning, panel.
Good morning,
Nurse
Good
Carol, morning. Our favorite person. First of all, I want to put it out there that I am and have always been a John McCain fan, and I wish him only great things. However, I would wager everything I own that health care bill vote would never have been delayed if a Democrat had been hospitalized. Well, of course not.
No, they don't need the vote.
They needed his vote.
Yeah.
Thank you for your faithfulness to the listeners of WAMC. I'm sure you're not doing it for the fame or the pay. And that's from Carol. What does that mean when you have, like, two dots and a
It's
thing?
A smile.
Smiley.
Oh,
I just turned
face.
The paper sideways.
Yes.
Okay,
the
I
smiley
got that.
Face.
Okay.
And evident. Sometimes you get a little winky in there if they
yes,
do the...
if they do a semicolon.
Semicolon, yes. Right. Thank you.
Panel. Don't you think those timers are more indicative of Mr. Trump's attention span from Virginia? And wouldn't the GOP need the 50-plus votes to repeal the ACA? I'd suspect there is a stronger opposition to a full repeal. And that's from L. Paul.
Yeah, the problem with that is if there's not a... whether there's a full appeal repeal or not, this plan is in trouble unless they take some quick surgical action.
And I think if they repeal it, they're going to get voted out of office. And if they don't repeal it, they're going to get voted out of office. So it doesn't really matter.
That's a very good point. They are in a bad
situation.
They are between the so-called rock and a hard place here.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there'll be primaries as a result of all of this. People will say
it's the Republican governors that are the problem. They have enormous popularity and enormous influence, and they don't want their Republican senators to be doing this.
So, can I ask again? This may come
of
off
course.
As a naive question, but how we all saw this coming, right? So, how did they not see this coming? How did they miscalculate this so badly?
Joe, it's just what we just said. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. If these Republican senators turned on Trump, they were really afraid of getting a primary, right? And if they voted for Obamacare and...
to fix Obamacare, basically.
Yeah, fix Obamacare. I'm so sorry. You're right. They would get hell in an election, in a general election. So they were in a really tough spot here. And nobody wanted, I heard one political wag this morning or read it that said nobody wanted to be that 51st vote. So that's why the two guys, Lee and the other guy, got together and announced at the same time. So they weren't.
I think you're exactly right.
They weren't the last guy.
Well, apparently they just went out to dinner and said, you know, screw this. Right. Yeah.
But what did they eat?
Yeah, well, that's the question.
It wasn't
was it
crow,
healthy?
Right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. R says, the fact that the Republicans are trying to come up with their version of health care means the Democrats have won the issue. Remember, when the Republican position was that the government should not be involved in health insurance and the goal was to repeal Obamacare, period, and then it became repeal and replace, game over, Democrats win the point. First of all, don't be so sure, R. I'm not so sure that they won't come back again. I think they probably will. Trump will be smarting. Bannon will be angry. the man they now call President Bannon, will be angry, and he's the one who has led Trump to the White House. So, yes. Something. Mike remarked that the state of health care would return to post 2010 years. Wouldn't it be worse? What happens to these people whose employer changed from private health insurance in favor of the ACA?
Excellent question. I mean, I think it would be chaotic.
That's from Jimbo.
Yeah.
Some might make the case that it's chaotic now and they want to stop the chaos. But mm-hmm. that's what Republicans say.
Kathleen says, "Are you a Republican?"
No. Okay. Yeah, yes, I'm. Yeah, yes, I'm a registered
Republican.
I thought. Yes. Ah.
Kathleen said, "I always like it when somebody says some will say, meaning I'll say, but I'll say some will say."
We'll
okay.
Put it on adventure.
Kathleen says, "In order for Obamacare to work, it needs to have all of the country participating with all of the people." Well, that was the whole idea about the structuring and the taxes.
All right. We're going to continue with more issues, and we have a lot of other things to talk about. Thank you. And we will do that, and I will do the grammar check right after the short break.
Support for WMC comes from Homebrew Emporium, New Rochelle and North Greenbush, New York, West Boylston and Boston, Massachusetts, beer and winemaking equipment and supplies, classes including cheesemaking available on request, beerbrew.com. Stavros, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams. Offices in Amherst, Greenfield, and Springfield, stavros.org for more information. Sunwood Builders, Amherst. Over 20 years of green and custom home building, offering home remodeling services and energy retrofits, working to save energy while maintaining design features. Sunwood-Builders.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and no moo dairy free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. And Epigraph Publishing Service at Monkfish Publishing, Rhinebeck. Providing authors with local self-publishing services, including editing, layout, cover art, printing, marketing, consultation, and distribution, epigraphps.com.
Joe, could I just start by saying something to JP? JP, I love your Empire Report. I read it every morning. It's phenomenal. It's incredible how balanced you are. Everybody gets their shake and everybody gets their chance. And I really appreciate your doing all that work and being here with us.
Thanks. Now, every time you say that, I get a couple dozen new subscribers, so thank you.
And you just go to Empire Report?
EmpireReportNewYork.com, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you'll read today about Jimmy Fallon making lots of your money, New Yorkers.
Yes. That's right. There's a lot of money to be made in a talk show.
Well,
from what I hear.
How does that work? New York gives out a tremendous amount of money under the guise of economic development, right, to pay people like Jimmy Fallon to come to New York as opposed to go to the left coast.
Well, the Tonight Show had been, until Johnny Carson moved it in the early 70s, the Tonight Show had been in Burbank, California. So when Jay Leno retired and they named Jimmy Fallon the host of The Tonight Show, they moved the show for the first time in recent memory back to New York City.
Permanently back, yeah.
Permanently back, and as a result of that, offered them a lot of tax breaks, right? That's the story.
Well, it's not just The Tonight Show. They give it to any big movie or any big TV show that wants to tape in New York. So, for instance, Law & Order SVU last year got $15 million from the taxpayers of the state of New York for taping in New York. And some would argue that, you know, these movies and TV shows have to tape in New York because that's the setting of a lot of movies and TV shows.
And it's the capital of the world, by
right,
the way.
But
Wichita SVU just wouldn't be as exciting.
Wouldn't be as
exciting. No. But, you know, I've seen TV movies, made-for-TV movies, and even theatrical movies where they portray it as New York, and it's
not.
Vancouver or someplace.
But it's phony.
Yeah, it really, it you need right. an authenticity. You need, but a lot of times movies are filmed and edited in other places, and then they come to New York for a bunch of shoots outdoors, so they get the Brooklyn Bridge or the skyscrapers.
Sure.
But also you get the actors. I mean, you have all of these, all of the working theater actors who are in New York and have close proximity who don't want to go to the West Coast and say, okay, we
can come
here.
Why would you?
And this is kind of... People criticize the hedge fund managers for getting specific tax breaks for hedge funds. This is what I think is a good tax break for Andrew Cuomo and Democrat donors. The movie producers, the Hollywood people, they are big donors to the Democrat Party, and it's a very good tax break.
That'd be the Democratic Party.
Democratic Party. I said that or
you
no?
No, you said Democrat Party. That's what Republicans always say. They always say Democrat Party.
All right. Now, let us go while we underlined a story that JP is talking about. Let's underline a story that the Times Union is talking about, and that is about this whole idea about ICE and these recent, the Customs Enforcement Agents and Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agent, and what they have been up to, and the fears / wonderment as to what this will mean for the Saratoga racing season.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Right. You know, this is how an attorney with the ACLU put it last night at a meeting at Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs that was about all this issue. It's a dangerous time to be a person of color who doesn't speak English. And that really stems from a couple of ICE raids, Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency raids in Saratoga in the last couple of months, where at least 27 people from Mexico and Guatemala have been arrested and are on their way back home, if not already. It's actually taken a toll in some of the restaurants. The fear is that it's going to diminish the availability of the folks that work out in the backstretch at the Saratoga Racecourse, which begins the thoroughbred meet on Friday. It's going to be difficult to find people. These people who work there every year are often immigrants from Central America who come in. They're skilled at this work, and they come in and they do it. But some of them are coming in on visas, and some of them may not have the proper paperwork. And so a meeting was held last night because of this at Skidmore, where people expressed an interest in helping. They're concerned about the human rights aspects of this. They don't want to see people who don't speak English being interrogated. They talked about whether if you're in your car, ICE agents can stop you and they can ask for paperwork. But if you're walking down the street, they cannot ask you for paperwork. And it's important to know that if you see somebody being questioned by an ICE agent, you cannot interfere. You can be charged with obstruction of governmental administration or the equivalent on the federal level of that. And so people in Saratoga Springs are worried about it. They're worried about it from the economic perspective, sure. But they're also worried about it from a human rights perspective. And it's just underscores the atmosphere that areas that employ a lot of immigrants are under.
Well, you know, there's one thing that we keep hearing from the pundits and others is that while Trump has not done anything that's popular that would make a difference one way or another to his base, the one thing that they really care about is the anti-immigration stance, and that works for Trump. It's disgusting, but I don't know that there's anything that anybody's going to be able to do about that because he's going to be pushing that, and it's working for him, and it maintains his base.
Was there any talk last night at the meeting, do you know, about why they're targeting Saratoga? Because I read stories from all over the state, and I did notice that in Saratoga they're making these arrests. Is it because of the horse industry there or some other reason?
It is. There's also
pickings,
tourism.
Right?
There's a good tourism industry there, so there's a lot of people working at restaurants and in other labor force areas that attract immigrants because they pay low wages and they're willing to work for lower wages because they're trying to make their way in this country. And is especially the track, and that's the big concern. And Wendy Libertor, our reporter who has been covering this week and went to the meeting last night, you know, she reports that people are concerned for both reasons. I mean, there's people, it's just an economic issue. How am I going to, you know, a restaurant had to close because they didn't have enough people to work it. And, you know, some people are saying, well, this is a big, you know, it's hard to be sympathetic. Why, this is terrible. It's hurting our economy. But it is also a human rights issue. These people end up getting hauled off the streets, brought down to the Albany County Jail, which is the regional federal holding tank, and then they get shipped out to Batavia out near Buffalo, where they go through, you know, might wait 6 weeks before a hearing takes place, and they'll get sent home mostly.
I have two questions. One is there are two other tracks that are operated in this state as part of NYRA, one being Belmont, one being Aqueduct. Do we know if they have gone under similar raids?
That's a good question. I don't think so. Have the raids really been getting a lot of attention in New York and Long Island?
I haven't seen anything in those other ones. I just read about the Saratoga, very prominent two people getting deported.
You have to wonder if that's one of the reasons, because it is getting the attention. Those kinds of, I mean, ICE enforces the immigration laws in New York City, and it's hardly makes the blip of the news. But here, it's a big story because it's right under our nose, and it's happening at a very opportune time when the racing season is about to kick off.
I have to say that it's happened in Great Barrington, where I live, where, you know, a guy who's been there for years and years and years, all of a sudden the black car comes and he's gone, literally gone. Mm-hmm. Family and everything else be damned. It's a terrible situation, and believe me, everybody in Great Barrington knew about it.
The big focus that I've seen downstate on Long Island is the MS-13 gang, which is mostly made up of undocumented and illegal immigrants. Those are the ones that are really making the headlines downstate, are the suspected gang members there.
Right, organized crime, you know, gangs, really,
yes.
You know, engaging
not
in
Not horse
illegal.
Track workers.
No. Right, and that's another component of this. Certainly, there are people engaging in illegal behavior that are being targeted by ICE, and they should not be here.
They should be targeted by ICE. That's a great thing, because they have no business being here. But there are good people here who are being really victimized.
Obviously, in Saratoga, this concern is about the effect. I mean, you could screw up the economy if you start playing around with the racetrack.
Right, and the timing is interesting. These started happening in May, and it leads up to the race, you know, the racing season.
Which
you know,
opens Friday.
Friday. It's about to kick in. It'll be like 6 weeks of, you know, heavy duty, a lot of tourism, a lot of restaurants that rely on immigrant labor.
It's the
labor.
Summer place to be, Mike.
Well, it may not be as summerly. Who knows? But
summarily.
Yes, right. But so it is. It is a very public and high-profile way to sort of exercise this option and flex the muscle of the internet, you know, the immigration and enforcement folks, you know. So.
Now let me and before we go to break with the three gentlemen before me, let me ask the question. The other story you have in here is about the Siena poll. Governor Cuomo dipping in popularity for the second time in as many weeks. The Cuomo juggernaut is waning.
He can't get around the subways. It's hell. It's the summer of hell. We all know it. He can't get around it. You know, he's trying to get the Republicans to go along. And I was thinking last night about this, Mike. Can you imagine what the conversation between Jeff Klein of the Rogue Democrats, who are making common cause with the
Republican leadership
in the Senate.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what that phone call between Andrew and those guys are? You say, here's Jeff Klein from where? The Bronx. And say, give me all this extra money that I'm going to need to get myself out of this. Otherwise, I may not be governor, let alone president.
Yes. Another big story, other than his tanking poll numbers are is that he has amassed, he is armed to
Incredible.
The teeth with a $26 million war chest.
And that's just for beginning.
Yes, that's just to start. He realizes that he's in danger. And he was earlier this year out with his girlfriend showing off the new Second Avenue subway that it cost the state $4 billion.
Right, that's
to build
the only part that's going well, actually.
Right.
But he was thumping his chest and saying, I'm the head of mass transit here, not that mayor.
And
now that's come to hurt him.
Right. He didn't invite de Blasio to the ribbon cutting. He
did a Les Nessman there for a second. The helicopter.
I own this. And right now, the Republicans that are potentially going to run against Cuomo aren't setting the world on fire. But transit in New York City is one of those singular issues that can literally crush popularity because it affects everyone.
And snow.
But the interesting thing is here, he's been strong in New York City, but 51% of upstaters now view him unfavorably. If this transit thing costs him popularity in New York City, that's a fatal combination, losing support upstate and downstate.
I said that in last week's column, and I'm saying it again this
week. Say it again. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's a lot of money, you know. And he, by the way, you know, JP, he was raising that money way before he was in trouble. Although in a very early conversation I had with him, he made it clear third terms were hell. Always.
Yes, he watched his father in a tortured third term.
Yeah. Well, no, getting elected the third time, I think, is what he was basically saying. There are those very good reporters who are telling me on the Capital Connection, other places, that they don't think he's going to run for a third term. They think this is all sort of posturing.
And who would step in the Democratic Party to take the mantle?
It would certainly be the Attorney General, but he's got a bad problem here. If he says he's going to run against Cuomo too early, Cuomo will murder him.
Well, and he's pretty much said he's not going to.
Yes, and I don't think Schneiderman, by the way, has the – and I like the guy, but I don't think he has the guts to run against Cuomo, that's for sure, because everybody knows Cuomo's name. No matter what you may think about Schneiderman and his good properties, we all follow him. Most people don't know who he is.
All right, let's pause there. We have a news break to get to. Jim Lavulis waiting patiently. We will be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Tuesday morning. It is the 18th of July. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, J.P. Miller, they make up the panel. We welcome your letters, panel@wamc.org. I look over across the desk from me, and I see that Alan has a stack of letters, and we will get to those before we get to some more topics.
Yep. Okay. Well, and here it is. Here they come. I just saw a Trump 2020 Make America Even Greater sign in Greenfield. Oy.
Well, the fundraisers have already started. So
yeah, well, they have. But
the commercials have already started.
But I could also see where that was a joke. Anyway, David says, in addition to the problems created by ICE in Saratoga, the Republican governor of Vermont recently pointed out the negative effects of ICE raids and the fear they have created and are having on the agricultural economy of Vermont. Sure. I mean, how are you going to get people to do the picking and do all of that stuff? And Linda says, you would think the business-oriented Republican Party would want to remove the burden of health insurance from businesses, which would happen in a Medicare for All plan. And Paul says, so if we weren't happy with our national defense, do we send all of our soldiers home and start fresh? I don't understand repeal without a replacement, said Paul. And Elizabeth says, this is a victory for the middle-class majority of people in the country over the tiny population of super wealthy. Thank you, Elizabeth. And Joseph says, kleptocratic authoritarians and deception-selling zombie cares, cruelty-wrapped in fraudulence like turds.
What?
Wrapped in bacon. Some Trumpistas can't get enough. Good. Well, I wouldn't have read that one if I wasn't reading off the top. All right. Okay. Elias says, single payer means one government insurance company only.
Mike's checking that one out. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. It means that private insurance companies would be relegated to selling insurance for discretionary health care problems only. It is a system that doctors and hospitals would love, but the insurance lobby is too powerful in Washington to allow this. They proved this when they aligned with the Republicans and blew up Hillary Care. Okay.
Next.
keep moving?
Yeah.
Okay. Joe asked why they didn't see it coming. The answer is that when you govern by ideology, you tend to miss really reality, even when it's about to smack you in the face. Our current system is imploding from too much money, special interest influence, and corruption. Lose sight of the common good and you are done. And that's from our friend Vincent, or Vinny, as we sometimes call him. And he's right, except that I take some issue with it. I don't think it's only ideology. I think it's the way in which they are targeting their voters. They know they won in those four or five states. They know that they had a superiority among a group, a small group of people, but that's what allowed them to win in this electoral college. So, because I don't happen to think that Trump has much ideology other than winning. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Agree.
Yeah.
So, okay, so Jason says, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That was a very one-sided discussion about film tax credits. The productions spend millions in state and employ tens of thousands of New Yorkers, and that's how they qualify for tax credits. While I understand the credits and saying your taxpayer money is paying Jimmy Fallon grab more attention, they aren't handouts or given for nothing in return. In fact, the program generates a positive return on investment. And also, it's not accurate to say Jimmy Fallon got paid by the credits. The credits are calculated using below-the-line costs, meaning costs associated with crew, vendors, purchasing materials and products from local New York state businesses, et cetera, and excludes spending on actors or hosts, directors, and producers. Okay, that's the other side to it. There is still a question when we talk economic development in this state, whether the things that people are getting paid to do are actually worthwhile.
And maybe
Maybe
we could do some tax credits for those big Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, for economic development. They employ tens of thousands of people that add to the economy. We should do some for them too, right? Why not?
Well, right. Because
what about the hedge funds?
Yeah,
they need some.
They're not in jail, so that's sort of a tax credit.
I think your point is that these companies, these TV networks and movie companies, are already making millions and millions of dollars, and if they really want to be in New York, they can afford to be.
Right.
And Art says from West Hampton, I love it over there in West Hampton, that part of the state. The healthcare dilemma is, of course, difficult and complicated no matter what the chosen plan. Fixing Obamacare, adopting single payer, modifying the Senate plan to make it palatable are all, in my opinion, extremely difficult without serious substantive regulation of big pharma. We need to bring our cost in line with the rest of the industrialized world. We cannot acquiesce to Allen's often stated position that this is the third rail for Republicans and some Democrats, so forget about it. To the contrary, we must fight for it, and this is the time. Progressive and conservative voters, not politicians, should be able to rally around this issue. Hey, Art, have you been listening to me at all? I've been talking about single payer day after day after day after day. What in the world are
He's a kindred spirit to you, Alan.
Well, no, but he took after me here. I didn't quite get that. Okay. Good morning, esteemed panel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Trump through and through, and he insists he's going to win, leaves all the work to other people in a political town he knows nothing about, expresses surprises when things don't go his way, but then makes it clear if it fails, it's someone else's fault. This man never takes accountability. Thanks and have a good day. Do you think when somebody says to you, have a good day, they sometimes are saying something else?
I think that was a genuine
No, that was a
wish.
Good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just reminded me that when somebody says, have a good day, it doesn't always mean.
It's all how you say it,
day.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Okay. Dear panel, why can't the Democrats present a bill that repairs the problems with the ACA, reinstates the mandate, gets rid of the uncertainties created by the Trump Republicans, and present it to the American people in the budget office, see if they can get Republicans to sign on? Fix Obamacare. Well, it's very unlikely that the guys who are running both the House of Representatives and the United States Senate are going to say, oh, yes, well, let's take up this very reasonable program. Right?
Yeah, it's unlikely.
And there's so much money being spent. The interests that are going to either win or lose with this bill, they all want to keep their piece of the pie.
Indeed. Good point. Larry says, we are witnessing an historic example of U.S. politics. Repealing Obamacare is nothing but a symbolic gesture. Both McConnell and Trump simply detest Barack Obama so much, all they care about is being able to go in front of the cameras and say Obama's achievement is dead. It doesn't matter that the plan will be resurrected eventually. The only objective is to belittle Obama. And this goes on, but it's a little too long, so I've stopped there. Okay. And then, good morning, panel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Neither of the parties are addressing the high cost of providing health care, non-negotiable drug prices, which the lawyer-in-chief said he would do something about and didn't, et cetera. We pay more and get less than most civilized countries. And when it comes to health care, I can't say that we are a civilized society. Bob. That's from Bob in Milford. It's Maureen. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Tom Price admitted that the intent of this whole charade was to return to what we had before the ACA, which was to let insurance companies set the rules for their own self-serving profit. And again, that's from Maureen. Okay. Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you.
We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Okay, so let's move on to this story. The departing ethics chief said the U.S. is close to a laughingstock. We're not quite there yet, but we're close. Close. Walter Schaub. Schaub? Walter Schaub Jr.
It depends how you spell it.
Whatever.
It's S-H-A-U-B.
Unlike the way it was spelled on the statement from the White House.
That's correct.
Misspelled it, but that's another story.
Walter Schaub Jr., who is resigning as the federal government's top ethics watchdog on Tuesday, said the Trump administration had flouted or directly challenged long-accepted norms in a way that threatened to undermine the United States' ethical standards, which have been admired around the world. He said in a two-hour interview this past weekend, it's hard for the United States to pursue international anti-corruption and ethics initiatives when we're not even keeping up our own side of the street clean. It affects our credibility.
And what you just read, Joe, that is so interesting in that the crux of the matter is what he said, which was norms. He didn't say laws. Because if it were laws, somebody would call for his impeachment or go to jail. What they've been cleverly, diabolically, cleverly doing is trying to figure out what a norm is and say, but we don't have to do that. It's just a norm.
That's exactly right. It's the whole issue of appearances and potential for conflicts. And presidents since the 1970s, according to Mr. Schaub, have cooperated with the ethics office, both Republican and Democrat presidents, and they steer clear of anything that might even look problematic. They know the value of rising above it. You're right. I think the Trump administration looks at it very legalistically and looks at it and parses it and says, well, it's not against the law, so we really don't have to worry about it. And not paying attention to appearances and potentials for conflict is problematic.
Yeah, the ethical standards that are presented by having a president of this vast wealth that Trump has, and also not just vast wealth, but also a lot of variety of business interests, whether it be golf courses or real estate or, you know, his daughter's fashion line, presents a lot of unique challenges. And you're right that President Trump's message or his response is, well, everybody knew I was rich and they voted for me, so I can do what I want, which doesn't really pass the smell test with the ethics watchdogs. And we'll continue to dog him if ever we're not talking about Russia or healthcare.
When it comes to the idea of, making the situation better, what do we do about that? Not only in the short term, but in the long term. In other words, the age old question: how do you put the toothpaste back into the tube?
Well, they can't. They what this proves is they really haven't got the votes or the ability to do it. However, I said it earlier, and I'm going to say it again. This, in a way, because it's yin and yang, dark and light, it is a time when I think this is all setting us up for Medicare for All. Now, we have it. We have Medicare for those people, over 65? Is that what it is now? Mm-hmm. Over 65? And then anybody below that, you do it a year or two at a time, and you've arrived. I believe that's what's going to happen because we know the system works. It's not as if it's a pig in a poke.
Mike?
Well, no, I was just, just getting back on the ethics thing. It is terribly difficult to manage ethical behavior. New York's own Commission on, Public Ethics. Joint Commission for Public Ethics has difficulty figuring out mechanisms by which just to administer ethical oversight, let alone, being able to take much action. You know, you need to have a process that is respected for it to work, and then you have to have teeth in it for when people don't adhere to it. And that's that's not the case now in Washington. Evidently, the president and his administration really don't feel obligated to comply.
I would say that they are taking the advice of their counsel, and the way that the Trumps do it is they push the boundaries as much as legally possible and probably then some. And it is a unique situation to have a president with all this money coming into office. Most people come in with $10 or $20 million, which is a lot of money for anybody. But Trump comes in with all these billions of dollars, and they say, okay, well, I want you to sell your assets. Well, who does he sell them to? What if the Chinese were the biggest bidder for his – or the Russians were the biggest bidder for his properties? There's a lot of – there's not a great solution for Trump and the situation he's in. No one's ever going to be happy with how he does it, and he probably – I shouldn't say probably. He definitely pushes the envelope more than he should.
Well, I mean, previous presidents have put everything in trust, right? This guy had no interest in doing any of that at all. None.
Like sand through the hourglass. we are sadly out of time. And we thank you very much for being with us. All of the blue sand is at the bottom, and well, that means we are out of time. But we will turn it over and start anew tomorrow with our panel, and we will continue our program after this short break.